You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about the fact that Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of the world coming into the world. That he has come into the world to banish the darkness of sin, to banish that darkness for good. And we are called as Christians to let that light shine through us. That is our calling as Christians, to be the light to the world, as our Lord is light to the world. We see this image of our Lord as light to the world explicitly in our gospel reading today, in one of these few cases where the gospel quotes the Old Testament, and our first reading is actually from that passage in the Old Testament. Sadly, it's pretty rare in the lectionary that they did that. But we see this passage from Isaiah in our first reading today. And as the gospel quotes, "The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen." Well, as part of this call for us to be the light to the world, our gospel shows us that there are two parts to that call. The first part to that call is what our Lord was going around Galilee proclaiming: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the first part is repentance. Repentance from our sins. And the fact is, all of us are in need of this repentance. All of us are in need to repent from something, because we have all fallen short from the life that God wants us to live. We have all fallen short of that we have not lived up to what God wants of us. We have all, at one time or another, turned away from God. And we have all, at one time or another, caused division and rivalries, in the words of St. Paul in our second reading. In short, at one time in our life or another, we have all fallen into sin. And of course, we will continue to, at certain times in our lives, fall into sin and be in need of this repentance. Now, when we do fall into sin, it's easy for us to remain in that sin, to maintain that status quo. In fact, oftentimes can justify our sins when we have fallen into it. You know, we might say, "Well, you know what? I'm not that bad of a sinner." Or worse yet, we might say, "Well, I'm not as bad as that guy as a sinner." Even more seriously, we might say, "You know, I really don't sin. I really have not committed anything that would be a sin." And sometimes people will say this something to the extent of, "Well, I haven't killed anyone, so I must not be a sinner," apparently, because you haven't killed someone or stolen from them or what have you. When we are trapped in that pride that leads us to justify our sins, it's hard for us to repent. It's hard for us to turn away from those sins and return to God, to go back to Him. But it is important we do that, because as our Lord says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We want to enter into that kingdom of heaven. The second part of this call to be the light to the world is, as our Lord tells Simon Peter and Andrew, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." Come after me. The call is to actively follow our Lord. It's not a passive thing. We can't just sit back and let the spiritual life happen to us. It's an active thing. And we have to follow our Lord. We can't just go our own way. We just can't say, "I'm going to take this path or that path." We have to follow His path. We have to daily follow in His footsteps. Now, it's important to realize, and it's important to understand, that the spiritual life is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time deal. You know, we don't stand up and say a prayer and we're good to go. Or we don't, receive our sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, first Eucharist, and we're done. No, it's not just a one-time thing in our lives. It's an ongoing process. In fact, many of these spiritual masters have pointed out that there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. There are no level grounds where we can kind of, "Okay, I've made it this far, I'm good for a while." It's a slope. It's a constant slope. And either we're moving closer to our Lord, we're moving up that slope, or we're sliding away from Him. We're heading down the slope. Well, I don't know about you, but I would rather go up the slope than down, because I know what's down and I don't want to go down there. I'd rather go to what's up ahead. You know, but we need to be constantly working on our spiritual life, constantly moving forward in it, or we will slide back. Now, you notice in the gospel that there's an urgency to our Lord's call. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew all noticed that urgency, and they responded as such. They realize that you need to respond now when you're called. You know, look at Simon Peter and Andrew. It says they dropped their nets. They left their nets and they followed our Lord. James and John, they jumped out of the boat. They left their dad sitting there. Took off and followed our Lord. They didn't wait. The temptation for us, of course, is to wait till later. We might say, well, I'll wait till the kids are grown up, or I'll wait until I'm retired, or I'll wait till I have more time, more money, more whatever. Now, I mean, imagine that if our Lord comes to Simon Peter and Andrew and they say, you know, Lord, that sounds great. I'll follow you. But you know, I really got to get these nets taken care of, and we got to get our catch to the market so we can make some money. And you know, I'm only a few years away from retirement, so I'm going to wait till then to follow you. Or if James and John said, you know, I'd love to follow you, but my dad's here, and we really should help him get everything finished before we do anything else. It kind of sounds absurd, but we do that in our lives. We do that in our lives. We make excuses. We make reasons why we can't follow our Lord now. But the urgency is now, because there's a great danger that if we don't heed his call, we might miss it. We might miss the kingdom of heaven because we waited too long and there is no more later. It used to be a very common practice in the early church, in the first couple of centuries of the church, to wait until the people were on their deathbed. They were just about to die before they would be baptized. I guess the idea being you get your baptism at that point, you just slide right into heaven. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it probably didn't. And rightfully so, the church discourages that, which is why we do infant baptism now, because the spiritual life should be a lifelong journey. And we don't want to take that risk that there won't be a later. You know, I don't know anyone who would say they don't want to go to heaven. I've met one or two people in my life who have ever said that they don't want to go to heaven. I think we all do. But you know, the sad part is most of us don't live that way. We don't live that daily walk with our Lord that will lead us to eternal life in heaven. You know, so if we're the ones who want to enter into heaven, may we hear the call of the Lord in our lives. May we hear that call and answer it and follow him. You know, being repentant, going through our lives and repenting from our sins, and then following him.